The people of God were stuck. For centuries, they lived as slaves to terrifying taskmasters whose cruelty was only exceeded by their power. In these dark days, God's people gave birth to children who would inherit nothing more than misery. Their strongest ally was a god whom they had assumed had forgotten them. Far from forgotten, the people of God were rescued by the might of his hand. He put their masters to open shame and led them into the wilderness. Though they were set free, they weren't yet living free. They started to live as slaves to their own sin. What happened next reverberates for over 3,000 years of history to this current day. Like a loving and patient father, God instructed his children, giving them the Ten Commandments.
Hey, good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Thank you for coming out. God is on a mission to set you free. God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be free indeed. He wants you to live life abundant. And that is what God is on a mission to do. We are kind of towards the back end of a series called the Ten Commandments. And I'm glad you have been coming back to hear more about these Ten Commandments, because they are perfect in every way. They are a message straight from God, unlike most of the rest of Scripture, who was given through man. It's still from God, but through man, inspired man, that penned this most of Scripture. But the Ten Commandments come directly from God, and I'm glad you're coming back to hear more about the Ten Commandments. And I just want to say that this morning's message, nothing against anything that was said before, but this commandment is, if you will, the most important commandment, because it relates to all the other commandments. And I'm going to explain what I mean. But if you keep this one, you'll keep them all. That's the title of my sermon. If you keep Thou Shalt Not Steal, you'll keep them all. I'll explain that a little bit more, and you're free to disagree with me, and we'll have a mature dialogue about it if you want to. That sounds great. Before I dive into that specific commandment of thou shalt not steal, I want to give a little bit of context for the Ten Commandments in general, and how God is on a mission to set us free, to make us successful, to give us life abundant. And I want to mention that the Jews and most of the Christians, this for some people is the seventh commandment, and for other people it's the eighth commandment because of the ten statements. It's kind of more academic thing or a technicality, depending how you count. But just wanted to make that clear, that this is, most people consider this the eighth commandment, and some people would consider this the seventh. But the Ten Commandments, if you want to switch to the other presentation there, I want to give a little bit of context here. So first off, it's just, if you keep this, you keep them all, this thou shalt not steal. And then we have this kind of, these words, these ten words from God, etched into stone by God himself. There's this beautiful, or this massive, powerful earthquake, or this lightning, and this dramatic event that happens. Can you imagine being in the wilderness with more than a million people without a set of laws, without things, like without a set of moral principles to govern that group of people? In this setting, most of the gods around them, little g gods, were requiring things from people in order to try to appease the gods. There's people killing other people in order to make sacrifices to their little g god. Well, right in the middle of that, in that, with the children of Israel, God's people, God's chosen people, they're in the wilderness, they're in desperate need of kind of moral guidance. God himself takes Moses up on the mountain. There's this lots of ferocious, powerful things that happen. And God etches into stone these 10 principles or these 10 commandments, these 10 laws that are, in fact, the 10 most perfect principles for society or most perfect commandments for society today. And still, over 3,000 years later, these still give a moral foundation like nothing else ever has or ever will. These are words directly from God to us today and to everyone for the last 3,000 years that cares to give attention to these. And so you might say, why did God give them directly? Why did God etch these particular words into stone? There's a lot more given in the law, and Scripture is filled with all sorts of words from God through man. Remember, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, and righteousness. And the way most of Scripture comes to us is God's people were inspired, and then they wrote the inspired Word of God, and then it's translated, and it comes down to us in this time and in this space. And this is a side note, but did you know that in Washington, D.C., there's a huge, huge museum that's being constructed right now. It'll be open in November sometime is their estimated time. That's simply putting the Bible on display. Check this out. 430,000 square foot of space in this museum for Scripture, for the Bible alone. In Washington, D.C., just a couple hours down the road. It's amazing. They're putting over $1 billion into this place. It's incredible, I think. But that's a side note. So the question is, why did God directly deliver these 10 things to us? Did you know, you might say, well, but Jesus in the New Testament, he's God and he delivered word. But people wrote down what Jesus said. Did you know Jesus never wrote a single word in Scripture? So, He did speak words, he preached a lot, and then people recorded what he said, but he didn't write a single word in the New Testament. But these 10 commandments were given to us by God, and why would God do that? Why would he give them to us directly? And it's simply that God understands, God knows how hopelessly broken we are. He understands that we need freedom. We are enslaved to this broken, sinful nature, and we need freedom in Christ. We need freedom from that tendency towards sin. And so if you look through kind of the brief history of what God's doing in the Old Testament, I'm just going to take you on like a couple-minute tour through the Old Testament and just try to point out to you, God wants you to be free. God wants you to be successful and to be living life abundant. So check this out. We have the fall in Genesis 3, and then man gets increasingly wicked until there's only one man that God can find that's not wicked. And that's Noah. And then we have the fall, the flood. And then sometime after that, they get wicked again. They're like, hey, we can just we're so powerful, we'll just make a tower that reaches to heaven. And we call that the flop, the fall, the flood, and the flop. That's borrowed from my friend Dr. Shive from Baltimore, since we're talking about not stealing this morning. And in fact, I forgot to say that in the first service, so I repent of that in this moment. So we have the fall, the flood, and the flop. And already in Genesis 12, God puts into motion this rescue mission through the Abrahamic covenant. He says he's going to send a Savior. He's going to bless the nations through you, Abraham. And then through his seed, the nations will be blessed. And that's a promise of the Savior coming, just like there was a promise already in the right when the fall happened in Genesis 3. And so then God leads his people through to eventually they're in Egypt. And then we have this mass exodus. And this they were enslaved, literally enslaved in Egypt. Really, God saved them through taking them to Egypt, originally through Joseph and getting in jail and then freeing him and stuff. laying up food, and then God saved his nation through that process. But then a new Pharaoh comes in, he forgets what God did through his people to save civilization through this big famine, and then the new Pharaoh puts them into physical slavery, and they're trapped in this, they're enslaved in this setting in Egypt, which in some ways is God's grace and his mercy to take them to Egypt in the first place, because God needed, like, his nation needed a mass of people, and the infrastructure in Egypt was such that it could sustain a mass of people. But then they were enslaved. But God is on a mission to free his people, and so then God sends all these plagues to finally convince Pharaoh that he should let his people go. And so God sets them free. And that's the first verse in the text that was given to us this morning. That's what it says, the God who brought us out of Egypt, out of slavery. And so God is on us, he understands our broken condition, and he has been freeing people. And so now we have the Ten Commandments, we have all these people in the wilderness, and they're free physically, they're not enslaved to anybody, but they're not free as a society because they're kind of chaotic, there's so many people, and there's no coherent set of laws or standards for them. The gods around them, they're chopping up people to appease the gods. That doesn't make sense. And so God in his mercy sends these great Ten Commandments, which still today is the answer to form a perfect society in the world. If the Ten Commandments would be followed, we don't even need police officers. We don't need courtrooms because it's just all perfect. But the fact is that we are broken, and so God is still on a mission. He's still on a mission. This is actually a picture of what it's like for each of us personally in this progressive sanctification journey that we're on. We progressively become free and more free in Christ. And so basically when the Ten Commandments came, we have this launching of what you call ethical monotheism, which basically means ethical, something, morals, principles, or standards relating to. Monotheism means there's only one God. And so this launching of this ethical monotheism is just basically the Ten Commandments coming and saying, there is only one God, and this is his perfect law, and this is what it takes to live perfectly in this kind of one, this environment of having only one God. These Ten Commandments, what it means and what it looks like to live in that perfectly. And like I said before, if you follow this one, this thou shalt not steal, you follow them all. You keep all the commandments, and you've heard me say that a few times, and I'm going to say what I mean by that in a few minutes, but to kind of launch or introduce you can get that ready back there in the sound booth, to introduce the thou shalt not steal, because it's a complicated subject, especially now that we have all these property rights and all that. So I want to just walk you through a couple ways of stealing and how it happens today. But to introduce that, I have a funny little video with bananas that I want to show you. So you can roll that as soon as you're ready. So that's just my way of introducing that stealing can be complicated in our environment. There's a lot of ways that we can steal. There's a lot of things we can steal. And I just want to highlight some of those this morning. But first, I want to just kind of tell you what I mean by if you keep this, you keep them all. If you keep this commandment, you cover the whole thing. And by that, I mean, so we're looking at thou shalt not steal. But if you murder someone, you're stealing another person's life. If you commit adultery, if I can compete against the rain this morning, if you commit adultery, you're stealing another person's spouse. And if you're coveting, you're thinking about stealing something that doesn't belong to you. And if you're giving false testimony, then you're stealing justice, and so on and so forth. And so every single other commandment is covered by this one commandment. So if you forget everything else, just remember, thou shalt not steal. And remember how it relates to all these others. And the other way that this commandment is different than the previous commandments or all the other commandments is that it's left completely open-ended. All the others are specific. You can't commit adultery unless you're married, right? But this thou shalt not steal is left kind of open-ended. It's not very specific. It's the implications are that you should be honest. The implications are that you shouldn't cheat on your taxes. The implications are you shouldn't take somebody else's property. The implications are that you shouldn't download the album that you shouldn't, that it's illegal to download or whatever. There's a lot of implications that come into play with this thou shalt not steal. And I think that's intentionally done. Obviously, God is perfect. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. And so he knows why he did that. And just a couple of ways that that we can steal. A couple of ways that, what does it mean to steal? How do we steal? Well, the most obvious, and maybe the first, and I don't think we have this issue in our time right now. We've kind of done away with slavery of humanity as far as America goes. Unfortunately, there's still some of that going on the black market. But the first obvious one is thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not take another person. Don't take another person and enslave them and make them labor in order for you to gain from their labor. And for these 3,000 years since the Ten Commandments has been in motion, there's been millions of people captured and forced into slavery, especially in Africa. There was just droves and droves of people brutally taken from their place or their lifestyles and forced into labor and traveling many miles and brutally so. And so obviously this is... This thou shalt not steal covers that. And I want to mention, some critics of the Bible say, wait a minute, there's slavery in Scripture. And I just say to that almost every single time in Scripture that slavery is mentioned, it's speaking of indentured servitude or a servant, indentured servant, which is basically somebody that has developed a huge debt, has a huge debt to pay, and they sell themselves in order to recover it for a certain amount of time, a pre-described or predetermined amount of time, in order to repay the debt they owe. That's what an indentured servant is. And that's what Scripture is talking about when it talks about slaves. Obviously, in Exodus, or right before Exodus, when they're in Egypt, that's talking about the kind of forced labor. If critics say, or if you hear somebody say, yeah, but slavery happened in Scripture, well, that's indentured servitude. So, and then the other most obvious one is taking another man's property. That's stealing. I remember when I was a kid, I was at Dollar General. I think there's a new Dollar General that came in town, and I was a kid and I wanted a candy bar. Mom, Dad said, no, you can't have it. So I just got it, put it in my coat pocket, got out to the car, pulled it out. And obviously my siblings are like, where'd you get that? And then my parents found out and I had to go back in and embarrass myself and say sorry and whatever. But that's just kind of a blatant way of stealing something. And that happens, that can happen through shoplifting, it can happen through other means, just by taking cash from somebody, rooting through drawers, or taking things that don't belong to you. But how about this one? How about when you steal somebody's reputation, when you steal their good name? If you tear them down with gossip, I believe that's stealing. You're taking a good name from them by spreading gossip, by spreading untruthful things about these people, or by doing it in a harmful way. How about when you humiliate somebody, you steal their dignity. You take their dignity from them when you humiliate them. And how about trust? You can steal their trust by say you're a real estate agent and you're trying to sell a house, and so you just kind of walk through and you just walk in front of the flaws, or you don't mention the flaws. You know that there's a, or maybe you're a used car salesman and they've kind of lost their trust anyway. Just kidding. I love the used car salesmen because that's what I buy. But they have a reputation, but that's by real estate personnel or anybody trying to sell anything by covering up things that they know about the product, know about the thing that they're selling. That's, you're stealing somebody's trust by doing that. And then there's the intellectual property, which that banana clip kind of highlighted. In fact, I'm guilty of this one. Years ago, when I was in Asia for 6 months, I traveled to China and Thailand a lot, Vietnam, Cambodia, and almost in each of these countries, you can buy these DVDs from Hollywood, and even before they're out of the theater, it's kind of interesting. You watch the movie, you see a hand go up now and then. Obviously, it was taped in a theater. But you can buy these movies for a quarter or whatever. And so, me being young and dumb, I bought a few of them, knowing full well that the copyright had been violated. And so that's one way we can steal. This isn't an issue as much anymore, but years ago, there's a big thing of, especially Russian sites, of downloading music. Some people were filling up hard drive after hard drive of movies and music. That was just stealing, taking intellectual property. And then there's other ways. You can steal from your employer by simply not working. In the middle, between services, I talked to a gentleman in the foyer that said that he works at a hospital, and they did a little research on this. They said if every employee in their hospital once a day or throughout the day takes 2 minutes to check Facebook, texting, or whatever, social media, only 2 minutes, it would cost the hospital $250,000 a year. Just 2 minutes each employee every day doing their phone thing on the job, then it costs the hospital $250,000. So there's a lot of different ways that we can take things from other people that that we shouldn't be doing. But I just want to kind of emphasize again that if we would all just kind of understand the implications of thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not do this, like if we'd all understand this, if we just observe this one single commandment and all of its implications, I think it's safe to say that it would by itself make a beautiful world. And my exhortation to you is to think about how have you been taking things from other people that didn't belong to you, whether it's through cheating on your taxes or whatever. And so just kind of wrapping this up or looking at, remember I said that God is on a mission to set you free. He wants us to be free. He wants to give us life abundant. He wants to lead us to ultimate freedom in heaven someday. So in the first verse that was read this morning, Exodus 20, chapter 1, it says, "And God spoke all these words, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." So what the author is saying here is, you guys were physically enslaved in Egypt, now you're not. I did powerful things and now you're free. You're in the wilderness. And now you've got lots and lots of people in the wilderness chaotically trying to do society or whatever. And now I want freedom for you. I'm going to give you these 10 perfect commandments. I'm going to give you this so that you can become more free and have a better society. I'm adding value to you. He's not like all the other gods around there that are requiring things to appease them. But God is adding value to the society, to the people, by bringing these 10 commandments. Some of these commandments relate to how you interact with people around you, and some of these commandments relate to how you interact with God, and they add value to your life. He's leading society and each individual person that adheres to these 10 commandments to ultimate freedom. And progressively so, continually throughout Scripture, we have God progressively bringing about freedom for His people. And we have Jesus, obviously, is the ultimate giver of freedom from our sins. But just fast forward a little bit from where the Ten Commandments were given. We have God's people again crippled and just demobilized, and this time in fear from this giant Goliath. There's the setting is that the Israelites, God's people, are here and they're crippled in fear. And for 40 days they've been crippled in fear. Nobody's just said they'll go fight the Goliath. You have a river, and then you have the Philistines who are taunting his chosen people. And then David, he shows up. Hey, God's name is being defamed. God's name is being lessened. And he says, that's unacceptable. And maybe you're finding that in your life, you're finding yourself in a situation where you just feel defeated out of fear. You've tried and you tried. Maybe it's one of the Ten Commandments that you have tried to do the right thing. You just continually do not do it. And you've essentially bought into the lie that Satan's trying to feed you that, hey, you're gonna be cheating on your taxes the rest of your life. Don't even try to avoid that. Or, hey, don't even try. To whatever these 2, 3, 4, however many commandments you trip up on, maybe you've bought into a lie that Satan's been feeding you, saying, hey, you can't do it. Just like Goliath was saying to the children of Israel, to God's chosen nation, you can't do it. He was defaming the name of God. And so I'm just asking you to consider this morning, to consider David as Jesus. David is the one that's fighting the battle for you. David is the one, or Jesus is the one in this kind of in your setting who takes down Goliath, who takes down the thing that you can't do yourself. These God's chosen people are demobilized. They're in fear. They're unable to help themselves. Here comes this little guy in the power of God, takes down the giant, chops off his head. And in a similar way, Jesus is fighting your battle for you. He's already won the battle. He's taken down the giant. And just like it was prophesied in Genesis 12 with Abraham that there's coming a blessing for the nations. That is Jesus. And it is in motion for us to experience complete freedom in Christ. We still struggle against this sinful nature we have, but we have progressive sanctification. God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be free. He wants you to live life abundant. And you have that in Jesus Christ. He is fighting your battles for you. And I want to encourage you this morning to think of yourself as if you're crippled in fear, if you're in a rut and you can't seem to get out, think of Jesus as the one doing the battle for you. Think of him as the one that's taking down the giant into your life. Because Goliath must fall. It's not he might fall, but he must fall. And so that's my encouragement for you this morning. To think of if you're slipping up and you're stealing things from people, if you're slipping up on another one of these Ten Commandments, it's in Christ that you find life. This is not a message of rah, rah, you can do it. Yes, you can. No, because you can't. You need grace from God. You don't have the strength on your own self to make it happen. You've tried that, I'm sure. Jesus is the only way to find life abundant. Jesus, just like God has been on mission to free his people and gave the Ten Commandments and so on and so forth, progressive sanctification, Jesus wants you, your individual life, to be free in him. He wants you to experience that ultimate freedom in Christ. And that's my prayer for you. The worship team can come up here. I just want to highlight here in the end, before I pray, highlight that thou shalt not steal is given in the negative. I'm not sure why. Can you advance the slide for me? And so the positive one of that, thou shalt not steal, is thou shalt be generous. Give yourself away. You can't outgive God. Keep giving. And in fact, in the bulletin, you'll see that our budget is, we're below budget right now. And so I'm just encouraging you, let's be generous. Let's be a people that are known for our generosity. In fact, it says in Psalms 112:5, it says, all goes well to those who are generous and to those who lend freely. God loves a cheerful giver, it says in the New Testament. So give sacrificially, give cheerfully, give freely in Christ, because he's given us the ultimate life in Jesus. Let me pray. Jesus, You are great. You have given us life eternal. You are setting us free from our enslaved state to our own sinful natures. And we accept that freedom. Thank you, God, for sending your Ten Commandments to give us a picture of what it looks like to live perfectly in society with you and with people around us. Would you bless us now as we desire more freedom in you, Christ? Would you give us that freedom? Would you lead us to prosperity as you prosper your children, life abundant in Jesus Christ? In his powerful name we pray. Amen.